My man, you ready to go?
Welcome to Race Time Radio. You'll hear from the best in Canadian U.S. racing this week. Grab a cold one and stick around.
You're good there. Got a car in the wall.
The starter tower has signaled. We're ready to roll. It's Race Time Radio and starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Chisholm.
And just like that, we are ready to rock and roll. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Sure. I'm so glad that you're able to tune in here tonight. We're coming to you live from the Racetime Radio studio, as we do each and every week here on the show. And have we got a lineup for you? Man, there was so much happening this weekend and so much anticipation for the APC race, and then Mother Nature rained us out on that one, and there was a lot going on. We're going to try and catch you up on absolutely as much as we can over the next 2 hours. All your Canadian racing highlights with some of the best here tonight, some of the winners. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show. We're going to kick it all off with Alex Nagy. He is the director of the APC series. And as mentioned, the APC series was all set to go at Sauble Speedway. It was going to be the Stewart's Equipment 100, the Stewart's Equipment 50 for the Dayco Superstock Series. Had a beautiful night all lined up and ready to go, and Mother Nature squashed it. Rain came in on Saturday afternoon, and it hadn't stopped until just a few moments ago outside the studio here. And then the sun broke out, weekend's over, and that's just the way it was. So we've got Alex Nagy to bring us right up to date on everything. I know everybody wants to get that race in. It's a simple case of can the schedules line up? Can everything line up in order for us to get that in before the season finale, which is the Great Canadian 300 that comes up at Delaware Speedway? We'll talk to Alex Nagy about all of the above. I know they've been working hard on it ever since, the announcement came out that the rainout was going to happen. So we'll catch up with Alex right off the top of the show. Then we're going to hear from, how about Jeffrey Breen, driver of the 66 Sportsman out on Canada's East Coast. He's got a lot of victories. He was skunked so far in 2026 until Friday night. He went to Victory Lane at Scotia Speed World. And we got Jeffrey coming on the show. And we're actually even going to have some of the clips from his race, the last couple laps, courtesy of Tim's Corner TV. You can always, I got to remind you too, you can always tune in to those Scotia Speed World races on Tim's Corner. He does have each and every one of them live. If you can't be at the track, you can still tune in. We'll catch up with Jeffrey Breen tonight. It's been a long time since we heard from Cole Butcher, right? He was busy at New Hampshire on the weekend, and ASA's coming back on. We got Michigan coming up. We're going to catch up tonight with Cole Butcher on the show. We'll also have some dirt content. I know we got viewers that, hey, Joe, get some more dirt on there, which we have. The 360 Sprint Cars were at the Big O on Friday night, and it was Josh Hansen going to Victory Lane in the 88. He took his sprint car to Victory Lane. That's the second win of the year. And, of course, he was the guy that grabbed the big dough from the bounty, right, that they had on Westbrook. It was Josh that did that. Well, he had so much fun winning that race. He went out and did it again on Friday night. We're going to catch up with him tonight on the show. I've got my fingers crossed that we're going to catch up with Aaron Willison. He did go to Victory Lane in Colorado. The race for the millions, it was him. Our BC guy went and got the job done. I'm hoping we're going to get him. We will see as the show progresses. We will tonight hear from driver of the Castrol Dodge. We got DJ Kennington coming up. He's been on quite a stretch. He's been getting some fairly regular results. And, of course, CTMP is coming up. I thought it'd be a good idea to get in one of those crafty veterans. We'll check in with DJ tonight and find out how things are looking heading into these last few events for the NASCAR Canada Series. And to wrap the show up tonight, There's some new management also with NASCAR. The beginning of the year, Dave Jacobs went from car owner into assistant director for the series. Thought it'd be a great idea to catch up with Dave here on the show. We haven't heard from him all year, and we'll find out what it's like going from the car owner side of things into the management side. He'd be a good guy to talk to that about. And Dave is, he's one of those good guys of the sport. He'll be a lot of fun to have as an interview, and we'll find out some valuable information. I can guarantee you that. But what do you say we get this ship a-rolling, and we'll do that with Alex Nagy, the director of the APC series, and also with Delaware Speedway and all the above. Let's welcome him on. What's going on there, Mr. Alex Nagy? How are you tonight?
Good, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic, my friend. So you would have been sent through every nerve cell in your body would have been activated this weekend, driving you nuts with the weather. We're getting to the end of the season now. These are all crucial races, and all of a sudden Mother Nature comes along and squashes it. The plan?
Well, that's a great question. We don't, our plan is to try to make this race up somehow, somewhere, if we can. It's hard. As you get down to the end of the season, it's not as easy to kind of plug a date in somewhere. So, excuse me. Sauble season's so short. They've got every weekend pretty much planned out from here on out. So, yeah, I'm not sure where we're going to end up yet, Joe, but we'll do our best to try to make the race up if possible.
Yeah. Well, I hear every word you're saying, Alex. Of course, being where I was at one point with Sauble and trying to weigh everything out and trying to put all the different hats on, trying to figure out where is an attainable date that this race could happen. And you're up against, Grisdale with a series that's happening at Flamborough. So there's a bunch of cars gone there that participate in both. So that rules out that weekend. And then you would say, well, how about this weekend that's coming up? Well, you've got a big concert that's going to be happening at Sauble Beach. So that comes into play. They're not going to be able to race on that. They still have to do their championship races for their home divisions. And then, of course, we got Delaware Speedway with everything that you guys have got going on. So the schedule is definitely thin, unless the only thing I could come up with, Alex, was picking like a Wednesday night where there's nothing on either end, but now it's short notice and you're trying to pull off a Wednesday night. I can imagine if you had 25 guys potentially to run that race, you would have 22 of them that would say, oh, yeah, I like the Wednesday night. But then you screw three of them. It's a no-win situation, I guess.
Yeah, it's not. And, I mean, the midweek show, Joe, they're successful. We talk about having one every year. We'll do it at some point, I'm sure. But the other side of it is, like you say, short notice. If you don't plan for those in advance for the fans, they're not going to come. They can't get time off work, right? Fans love that, and they can book it off, in February.
You must have touched something, Alex, because I totally lost your audio. Something touched there? I'm not quite sure. I got everything turned up on this end. Just all of a sudden, you went out.
Oh,
there you go.
Let me turn.
You're back.
You got me now?
Yeah, I got you now. Perfect.
Okay, good. Good, good.
So,
it's just hard. The midweek thing is really cool, but it's hard for fans to get it off now.
Yeah. Well,
they booked those times in February, right?
Exactly. One of the most successful races I had at the beach was our Wednesday Dash for Cash. Now, I got to preface it that by saying it took 2 or 3 years to build it to when fans would know, okay, on the last Wednesday in July, we were going to get a race. So then it was well attended by cars and race fans. But, man, you can't just pop an idea like that and drop it on. I know it sounds like a good idea, but the harsh reality is, and to make one of those APC shows make sense, make dollars and cents, it has to be well attended.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I should back up a little bit and just say that how much we respect Sauble's decision for this past weekend. They made the right decision. We work with our tracks closely, and there's nothing but respect with your decision. I appreciate it. We go through that every Friday night at Delaware, right? So mm-hmm. we totally know what they're going through and trying to make it, if it will work, not work. And probably what, 80, 90% of the teams, a lot of the fans travel. You don't want to be sitting there in the rain. We'd have sat there for, like you said, for 2 days.
Oh, so, you would.
Right, Carl, we respect it. We just have to see if we can figure something out to make this work.
Yeah, and hindsight's always 20/20. But I can tell you, yesterday afternoon, I'm 5 minutes from the Speedway, yeah. and the sun was popping in and out, and I'm going, oh, boys, this is a tough deal, because the 100% chance of rain, but yet the sun is out. And yeah. sure enough, right around that 4 or 5 o'clock hour, kaboom, down she come. And it never stopped. It's been going yeah. and carrying on all the way through last night and today. So I agree wholeheartedly. Perfect call. That was the way to do it. Now, Alex, when you look at the series, if we take this race out, we're up with just one more to go.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the unfortunate part, right, Joe? We'd like to make it. It's an 8-race series. The Daco Superstocks is a 5-race series. We'd like to make both of them whole if we can. You know, both of the races this past weekend and our previous race at Sauble Speedway, August 1st, with the APC series, were all sponsored by Stewart's Equipment. Partner yours too. Jeff Stewart is such a great ambassador for our sport and great supporter. I feel for them too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hopefully the rain makes them sell some more equipment, I guess, and people have more time to go to the store. But great supporters, and I feel for them, feel for the teams, feel for the fans. So if we can make it work somehow, we'll figure it out. If not, we'll have to go with what we have.
So from this point, then, we're still looking at a potential or some way around this. Is that fair to say?
We have time, you know. I mean, I know a day, 24 hours has passed, or 36 hours, but it's still fresh. And if we can make it up somewhere, somehow, we will.
Yeah. A double points day wouldn't be that's a real tough one, right?
Yeah, it's not ideal.
No, especially when the last event is a 300. It's not like you're going to go out there and, you know, it's a 75-lap race or something. Man, it's the Great Canadian 300. It's a big race. So doubling the points up wouldn't make a lot of sense.
No, I think it makes more sense in May or June than it does in September, Joe, because it's still one race, right? Whether you get 5,000 points to win or 500 or 50, it's the same thing. So
exactly. No, I agree. Just throwing different scenarios out there.
We think about it all for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how and what does develop. Would it be fair to say, Alex, that within a 7-day window, you guys will have the route figured out to hard and fast, this is the way it's going to be?
Yeah, at some point we'll just have to let it go and make a decision that we're going to stand pat with, you know, one less race and or have it. So, that's fair.
Yeah, 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 I would think.
People have schedules too. They're not planning on racing. You know, a bunch of our people aren't planning on racing until September 26th now, right?
So
have to think about all that. So it's never easy. And like you said, Flamborough has a couple late model races between here and then. So, and that's awesome. But just it makes it a little bit tough. So rather than rush into a decision, we just want to think this through and see if we can make it up or not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the best way to approach it. That way, at least it's got, you know, every possibility has been thought of and laid out and given a fair shot at it. And it doesn't really make sense to have the Great Canadian 300, which is the points finale and the whole wrap-up. It doesn't make sense to go beyond that point and try and do it. And you got to look at, you've got Frostoberfest on the other side. You've got Autumn Colors Classic Weekend. You've got those fall specials that if you did go beyond the 300, now you're affecting those. So those are out of the plan.
Yeah, that's not an option to go past September 26th. You know, having Delaware Speedway, we could probably make something work at Delaware, but, you know, we had an extra race this year because of the sunset closing, and that's not ideal. I mean, obviously we're going to continue to, you know, work through that, but in September at Delaware, we got You know, the must-see race in 410 Spring Sprint Car Warriors coming up September 4th. We have the national, it's a great September at the racetrack. We have the national championship for the NASCAR Canada race coming up September 12th. We have the APC championship, Daco Super Spec Series championships. We got a lot, our home track championship. So September's crammed for us too at Delaware. So, hey, listen, if this was easy, there'd be 400 racetracks in the province, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it'd be a no-brainer. Alex, the points are incredibly tight all the way around. And really, fans don't want to miss a moment. From here to the end, it's really going to be outstanding races. Let's touch on that sprint car race that's coming up, because that one there just sort of flew into the schedule. That wasn't planned right from the beginning of the year, right?
It was, Joe, but we actually had to change the date because Must-See Racing changed ownership. And with that change, there was some things internally on their end. Another series in that with a sprint car, wing sprint cars on the asphalt side, got scheduled on the same weekend that we were initially going to have them in August. And they phoned us and said, listen, we think the best chance to make this good for your fans and for most opportunities for teams is to move it to September 4th. So we thought it through, and, you know, first time having this deal, we understand it's going to go through some growing pains, but it's going to be super exciting. And I know the owner right now of Must-See Racing was at Colorado at the Million to Win this weekend, trying to round up some more teams. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be different. And, you know, I guess we don't 100% know what to expect like we did with the Super Modifieds or anything else that we have. But, hey, got to take a chance.
I've seen them both run on asphalt. They're seeing two incredibly wild shows. But, Alex, you'd be a perfect guy to ask. You got the 410 in the sprint cars. You got the 410 big block in the Super Modifieds. Which one's going to be quicker? Which one's going to be more hairy on the half mile?
Well, that's going to be cool. We're going to prove it right at Delaware because we're going to compare it to the ISMA stuff that happened a month or so ago. You know, the sprint car guys say they're quicker, but in all fairness, they probably should be. They're a little bit lighter. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be fun for the fans to see who's the fastest. And I know if the sprint cars end up being faster, I know when ISMA comes back next year, they're going to want to top that. So it's, hey, competition's awesome, right?
It sure is. I know we've got Ryan Litt coming up on the show. He is coming to Delaware. He's coming up next week on the show. And I don't know whether we'll have Aaron tonight, but guaranteed we'll have him next week if we don't have him tonight. It's going to be off the hook. That race, September the 4th, right?
Yes, correct.
September the 4th, and then we roll into NASCAR Canada, and then we wrap it all up with APC at the end.
Yeah, September 12th, NASCAR Canada with V8 stocks and bone stocks, or two divisions from regular divisions. Then we wrap up our home track championships September 19th. That, or 18th. And then, we head into the Great Canadian Race Weekend, which we'll have Oscar Modifieds and Hot Rods on Friday, along with V8 Stocks. And then Saturday, we'll have the Daco Super Stock Championship and the APC Series Championship. Big money for both. If anybody across the country wants to come race with us, let me know. Plus, if you win the Super Stock race and the late model race, there's a $10,000 bonus.
Oh, you put that back on, did you?
Yeah, we put it back on.
What a carrot that is. You can bet there's going to be some extra hardware out there for that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, camping is almost sold out. People got to get on it. That weekend's going to be unbelievable. We have a band booked from Windsor. Can't say the name yet, but they're going to play in the front stretch for an hour in between the during the day, so it's got a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be pretty cool.
Well, I know I'm going to be at Delaware probably 4 weeks in a row. I can't miss any of these shows. It's going to be off the hook.
That'd be awesome.
But finally, tonight, APC, the final announcement for this race, best spot to point everybody is to the website I got?
Yeah, to UnitedRacesSeries.com or APCSeries.com, same thing. APC or United Racing Series on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. definitely we'll make the announcement as soon as we can on, you know, whether we're going to be able to make it up or not. And obviously we'll keep in touch with the teams and get their views on different things. But been in contact with a few of them since our Salvo's announcement on Saturday or Friday, I guess. So, yeah, listen, we'll do the best we can. You know, a lot of things to take into account. There's two different, you know, there's two different divisions that we have to worry about, not one. We want to make sure that we do them both justice. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled, and I know as soon as we find out anything, we'll definitely get it out. Alex Nagy, thanks so much for the time tonight. You better get some rest, bud. You got lots coming up.
Got a big September. Looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Thanks so much for the time, bud.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
Alex Nagy right there. Delaware Speedway, the United Racing Series. We got some big stuff coming up. We'll find out what the plan is for that race. And definitely you want to make tracks for Delaware Speedway. Tickets are available for all those events. You can get them online. Buy them ahead of time. Save yourself some time. It's going to be perfect. Going to be a great spot to go and check out these final races of the year. Going to be off the hook on the half mile. I'm going to go directly back to our Zoom line and welcome in our next guest. I spent some time with this guy back at the IWK 250 on the Friday night. He wasn't have the best of times that night, but he did have a real good time on Saturday night at Scotia Speed World, the number 66 of Jeffrey Breen. Got the job done. He joins us now on the Zoom line. Jeffrey, what's going on? How are you, bud?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Man, you got that race dialed in.
Yeah, I had a little bit of luck on our side, and for once, nothing broke, and we put it together. I was pretty confident at some point we would win, and I just wish it didn't take so long into the year, but glad I got it done.
Yeah. Well, and tough season so far, right? It seems like a lot of the top teams have really gone through the paces this year.
It's true. Like, there's not one car in that top so many that has any wreck. Broke or had something really bad happen, and it's going to be a battle for whoever wins that Scotia Championship this year.
Now, Jeffrey, are you following the tour? Are you doing all the mass races, and what all have you got going on?
I run every Friday in Scotia, and their finale, I believe, is on a Saturday, and then I run the 5 mass series races. So, and then usually at the end of the year, like last year, I went to Bud Speedway in Sydney. So by the time it's all set and done, we're probably packing in about 18 races, I would say, at the end of the year, 18, 19.
Yeah,
give or take with rain, I would say you lose a couple. But.
That'll keep you busy. That keeps the old Silver Fox busy, I bet.
Yeah, it keeps us all busy, honestly. It's probably a little too much, really, for a small of a team we have and the budget we have to take on. But we love racing, and so nobody's twisting my rubber arm, I guess.
You've done a beautiful job on that 66 car once again. I know Sue is, as you and I are talking, Sue's running the video from the race itself. And you've done a real good job on that 66. You always do on your car, but that one there looks even more special.
Yeah, it looks good. Eddie painted it, and my brother and myself, we deckled it up, and we got the vinyl from Xander Signs, and we work very, very hard out of our family-run shop there. And like I said, it's a team effort and a lot of hours put into that car to make it go around as good as it does.
The Breen family has been in this sport for a while, right? You're what, second generation now?
Well, my dad was involved in racing back in the 80s and the 90s into street stock and with my uncle, and my dad dabbled into street stock a little bit, but he really liked working on them. So then my brother got into street stock in 02, and I was only a little kid watching him race, and he ran a few years, and he moved to sportsman. And then I ran mini stock for a couple of years right in high school, and then jumped to sportsman when I was a teenager and been running ever since.
Yeah, pretty amazing. You are out of Antigonish, is home for you. So when you run those races at Scotia Speed World, you're a 3-hour tow, right? An hour and a half there and an hour and a half home.
Yeah, a little more than an hour and a half, actually. It's probably about an hour, and depending on traffic, an hour and 45. Hour and 50, you know, for late, I can probably cut 10 minutes off that time bogeying, but yeah, it's about an hour and 45 minute haul each way. So it's, and on a Friday and you're rushing after work, it's a lot to take on. And I kind of know what I'm getting involved in every year. I know it's a stressful Friday to get there and try to get the car ready, but we all love it. And some weeks are harder than others, but you take the good with the bad.
Yeah, it makes it easier when everybody's into it, like your team is. And when you get a race at Riverside, which is a home track race for you, you guys got to get right up for that. You're right there.
Yeah, Riverside is really special. We only live about 3 minutes from the track, but we're the closest one, that I believe, anyway. I don't think there's anybody that lives closer, so we're really close. But we only have a few shots to run there. And what's tricky is when we run Halifax the week before and we have trouble, it's really hard. Like, it hurts the progress of the car. Like, IWK was a wash. Like, we really, it was a hard hit the week prior. And then we ran into trouble right before the last race at Riverside. And it's discouraging because I want to run well there. I got a lot of fans and family and sponsors that show up. But we'll see. Hopefully September I can put in a better showing, because it is special to run well at Riverside.
Well, we were at Riverside for the IWK 250. Of course, the night before, on the Friday night, is the Napa 100. And sure enough, Jeffrey shows up. He's got the car ready to go. But he didn't have a lot of time to address some of the stuff that he went through the week before. So he had bent steering, and he wanted to get out and see how badly it was bent. Jeffrey, you still went out there and competed in that 100-lap race. How bad was that rack?
It was bad. I even asked the officials if I could go out and kind of help dry the track. That was my way to go see how bad the car was, but they didn't allow it, but they did let three of us before our heat race to go see if the track was dry. And anyways, it was bad. It was, like I said, it wasn't great, but we managed a top 10, and I just had to suck it up and deal with it, you know what I mean? So I think it was pretty fun before the race, under the rain delay, having all you guys in the trailer, and we were talking, and I know you were talking about having me on the show, and I said, only if I win. I said, I don't think I feel like I deserve to be on the show with how bad I was running this year. So anyways, you got it done, and you messaged me, and I said, sure, why not?
Absolutely, that's the way to do it. So we've got a few more races from here to the end. Now that you've hit victory lane, are you going to put a bunch of them together, or what's the thoughts?
That's the goal. I want to win as many races as possible for the year's over. I got 5 left in Halifax and 1 left at Riverside, and maybe do one more. We'll see. The budget's absolutely gone. There's no money left, really, to be honest. Like, no tires. I'm on tires on the car from last year. That's what we won the race on. I had 2025 tires. So I'd like to go run one more, but we'll see. But that's not going to deter me from getting to the track and trying to win. Like I said, you put that out of your mind and you focus on making the car work with what you have. And I hope I win every single race. That is luck.
Well, that's the way to do it. Hit those sponsors up, man. I know they mean a ton to you.
Absolutely. I got really good sponsors, and I appreciate every one of them. And I really try to run well for them, my family, my team. I don't want to disappoint any of them. And we still got some room on the car. So if anybody wants to jump on board to finish the Euro, I wouldn't turn down a couple tires.
That's the stuff. Jeffrey, congratulations on the win. You made your appearance on Racetime Radio. We'll get you back. Keep winning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. This is awesome to be on the show.
You bet. That's Jeffrey Breen. He is out there. Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia, wins himself a race at Scotia Speed World on Friday night. Watch. They're just like grapes. You get a guy like that wins, he's going to put a bunch back-to-back. I can almost guarantee it. You'll see that guy back on race time. Absolutely for sure. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go down south of the border, and we're going to grab Cole Butcher and find out what's happening in his world. We'll be right back on Race Time. Stay with us.
Hey everybody, I'm Summer, and we'll be right back on Race Time Radio.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by Quick Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter, Napa Auto Parts Stores, Port Hawkesbury, New Glasgow, and Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV. Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV, brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Two-Speed Motorsports in Hanover. Shop now for Raptor filters, set-up wheel plates, roll-off scale stands, tire carts, and more. Proudly made in Canada. For details, get to TwoSpeedMotorsports.com. It's time for over 30 years, Quick Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Quick Fire Starters, no harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. Tonight's Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology, and by Rev TV Canada, from two wheels to four and so much more. The race is on Rev TV Canada.
From the high banks of Daytona, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to Joe's.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, one and all, to Racetime Radio. We're going to go right back to the Zoom line right now, and let's bring in the guy we all watch in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. He drives the number 13 for Thor Sport. His name is Cole Butcher. What's going on there, Cole? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic, my friend. Not a bad weekend for you at New Hampshire. You come away 17th.
Yeah, it's definitely in the right direction. We've been struggling a little bit as an organization, but we're getting better each week.
Yeah, you can see the curve. Cole is starting to go back up the right way. That's the way you wanted to go. It's a tough deal, man. Nobody said this was going to be easy.
No, for sure. We qualified decent on Friday, and then we were a little up and down all over the place on Saturday, but was able to stay away from some pretty big wrecks at the end and come up P17. But yeah, I know for sure we always want to do better, but we're just working towards the right direction.
Absolutely. Now, ASA is starting to come back on a little heavier now at this time of the year. We got the Michigan 300 coming up at Owosso. Are we going to be able to see you at that one?
No, I'll be at Tri-County on September 8th in the ASA Tour, then Riverside, and then we'll head to Bristol for the Truck Series race at the first week or two of September.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's been nice. We've been able to see you back up on this side of the border. Kind of cool when you get home and bring Brody up and see Grandma and Grandpa, I guess, and do some racing at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. The Chisholm's family have been nothing but big supporters of mine this year, and I can't thank Donald and everybody enough. So it's the least I could do is come up and help out at the racetrack, and just it's great to come up, see family and friends, and also get to race at the same time.
Cole, when you look at the races that are left on the Truck Series schedule, you got any of them that stand out that you sort of look at and go, okay, this year is going to be my best shot to maybe hit victory lane?
I mean, we have Talladega coming up, so it's a big hit or miss for really the whole field. So so you can never really start not put that one on your list. But then we have Bristol, Martinsville. I think we have 6 or 7 races left, so I guess we just have to see where we're at as an organization. But the goal is just to be top 10 and see what happens.
Yeah, well, and cool news, just this past week, we find out the Truck Series is coming back to Canada next summer. That's huge news. Road course, how about your thoughts? Are you thinking you like road courses maybe a little more now?
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked road courses. Just hasn't really been my strong suit, but I'm inching towards it, doing better things as a driver, and just listening to a lot of good people in my corner, like like Lee Pettipaw and Joey Han and all those guys. So, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to going there next year, and be cool to race on Canadian soil in the Truck Series.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. Every year the trucks were at CTMP, usually the Silverado 250. I was at every one of them. And to watch the progression of some of the young stars in that series and to see them go, you know, go out and run that race was truly amazing. I can't wait to see you out there at CTMP. I think you're really going to shine when you hit that joint.
Yeah, no, like I said, I look forward to it. I've never seen the place or been to lap around the place, so I guess we'll have to fire up the simulator when the time comes and see what we can do there.
Absolutely. So we've got, as mentioned, some ASA Stars Tour stuff coming up. Do you have many late model races from here to the end? Can you see maybe jumping into the Snowball Derby? I know you love that event. You've had good numbers at it.
Yeah, I have five races left this year between the Bob Wyatt 44 and a couple of pro late model stuff. So we got lots of racing left to do.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see you all the way through. How's everything been going, Cole, from social media and stuff? Do you see things growing or things starting to take off for you?
Honestly, I haven't really paid much attention to it. Molly with 90 Creative kind of takes care of it all, and then Brooke at Thorn. So I think our numbers have been pretty good. We had to start a new page for my personal self this year. Just kind of separate things from Butcher Racing versus Cole Butcher. But yeah, I think our social media numbers are up. I know Riverside's happy with everything, and me and Joan talk weekly about her numbers and how she's been getting a lot of attraction. So I think everything's going good.
Good, good. And that's good to hear. There's so much that goes into a team now. It's not just simply show up and race. There is so much that goes into it. And, Cole, you've been doing a great job knocking it out of the park. I can see maybe a win coming up at Riverside when you get back up here. You'd be itching for another victory lane at that place.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get the victory lane anywhere, honestly. I like to usually get a win or two a year, so we got to keep that statistic up somehow between now and come Snowball Derby.
Well, you'll get it, I can guarantee it. Cole, we appreciate the time tonight on Race Time, always do, and wish you nothing but the best. Keep her going, man. We'll keep her eyes peeled on you.
Awesome. I can't thank you guys enough for having me, and hopefully we get to do it again soon.
You want to believe it. That's Cole Butcher running in the Truck Series. ASA's coming up. We're going to see him again back on this side of the border. He's always a threat to win whenever he jumps in, and to see his numbers in the Truck Series starting to come up. You got to know Cole Butcher isn't happy with even 17th. He wants to move forward. And if it isn't forward progress, you won't find a guy digging harder than what Cole Butcher will do to get those numbers. Keep your eyes peeled on that 13 truck for Thor Sport. And when he gets back behind the wheel of his late model, you know he's a threat to win every time he jumps in there. So we got lots of good races coming up. I can guarantee you that. We're going to hit another quick break here when we come back. Josh Hansen, he went to victory lane in his sprint car on Friday night at the Big O. He's going to join us right here on Race Time Radio when we come back. Stay with us. Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Stewart's Equipment with four locations, two in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer, featuring Kubota, Turn Faster, Cut Smarter, Power Up for Spring, servicing South Central Ontario since 1955. It's at Stewart's Equipment.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NASCAR Canada Series is on Rev TV, Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country, racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Canada Series on Rev TV. Brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
It's time for over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Fire Starters. No harmful chemicals and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. There's work and there's fun. Both require the right equipment. Since 1955, Ed Stewart's Equipment has specialized in both, with a full lineup of Kubota, Honda, Still, New Holland, and most selections are in stock, ready to go, with 4 locations to serve you, 2 in Erin, Cookstown, and Stainer. It's Stewart's Equipment. With the right equipment, work can be fun.
Your weekly fix of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here. We call it Race Time Radio. With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you all live tonight from the Race Time Radio studio. Just back and forth there with Aaron Willison. He's driving down the road. I was hoping to get him on here tonight. LP Dumoulin was also scheduled. LP was sitting on a flight just before the show started and didn't know whether they were waiting to take off and they were being delayed. So it was going to mess the schedule up. So LP said, look, why don't we just do next week? I said, that'll be fine. So it opened the door up for Aaron. But then Aaron Willison is now traveling. So long story short, we're going to have Aaron on next week on the show and we'll talk to him. Of course, he went to Victory Lane in the Race for Millions. He did it in Colorado. I thought that race was next weekend. Didn't know it was this weekend. There's so many races and big events happening. No excuse other than I totally misguided that date. With Aaron Willison winning that race, it's just monumental. Just dynamite for he and his team. The guy's magic behind the wheel. He's out of BC. You've seen Aaron on the show here many times, and you're going to catch him again next week on the show where he's got a little more time. We'll be able to celebrate the victory. And he's had so many victories, but this one here, definitely a huge one. The Race for the Million is something that it was a race fan, a guy connected with the sport that put in a whack of money and wanted to do a series and really feature the guys with sprint cars on asphalt. And man, oh man, did they ever do that. And Aaron Willison was the man. And he did it again on Saturday night, ended up winning the series, and we got lots to celebrate. We'll do that next week on the show with Aaron. And tonight, though, we're going to celebrate another victory. This driver not only got the bounty money a couple of weeks ago, but he did Victory Lane once again this past Friday night. Josh Hansen joins us on the show. If I turn up his mic, we'll actually even be able to hear him. What's going on, Josh? Congratulations on the big win number 2 now.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, amazing job. That's a tough deal. When you're at the Big O and running against all those sprint cars that you run against, that's a tough deal to pull off a victory. You've got 2 of them now.
Yeah, I mean, the competition just keep getting better and better every week. And I feel like every single week, everybody's getting better. And there's so many guys in that pit area that can win every single week. And And fortunate enough, we got two this year.
Josh, I've watched sprint cars at the Big O. I've watched all those different races, and I still haven't got figured out how you guys get your starting spot. I know you're doing it through the heats. You either qualify or you don't. But after you qualify through the heats, is it heads up, depending on how you finish your heat?
So we have a timed hot laps. Quick time goes to fourth in the heat. And as long as they can maintain fourth or better, they get put into the redraw. And then if they maintain fourth or better, the winner of the heat race also goes to the redraw. So they take the top six to the redraw. And then we basically, the top six, we meet in the tech barn. And we pull poker chips from a bag, one through six. And lucky enough, I was able to pull number one.
Well, you got to be good to be lucky. And that's the way to do it. Westbrook has been on fire the last couple of years. And there's a number of teams that have been like that. What's it like trying to go up against these guys on a week-to-week basis? And you got to know, and fans really got to know, that the tech guys do an amazing job at the Big O. They are really scrutinizing your cars, like front to back, each and every week, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like top three go to the tech barn after the heats, and then it's top five to the scales after the feature. And every week, like this week, they're measuring wings. They're doing stuff to our engines. They're checking our tires. They're doing everything. There's nothing they're not missing.
Right, right. And if they do miss it, you know they're going to catch it at some point. And that's the cool part about the scenario that is happening at the Big O. It's got to be comforting from your seat. But in the same right, no one wants to get their engine pulled apart when they're running good. They don't want to take them apart. But you have to, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it keeps everyone square, right? And like, I know a lot of these guys in the pits, like, we all run fair. I mean, I'd be happy to take my stuff to the tech barn every week. That's not who we are. And I think everyone's the same thing too, you know, even guys like Westbrook, when he was beating us week after week, you know, the last couple of years, I know those guys are playing fair. He was just playing better than us.
Yeah. And the track conditions change. Each and every week, it's a different track underneath you. Man, it can change from the heats to the feature, can't it?
Oh, for sure. They've kept us on our toes this year. The last month or so, the track's gone from super slick to super fast, and now we got a big cushion, which I think it was Adam Ross said on the live stream last week, this isn't the typical Oschwegan, and they're definitely keeping us on our toes. It's hard to plan in the shop because you don't know what you're expected each and every week lately.
Yeah. And Adam did allude to it. And they did a couple of video shots where you could see that cushion. It looked treacherous out there. If you got over that berm, see you later.
It was gnarly. Definitely not my type of track, but I was able to make it work. I was honestly surprised. Over the years, I've always kind of had a bit of a tougher time with the cushion, and it's usually bit me more than not, but thankfully last Friday it didn't.
Yeah. Amazing. I love watching the sprint cars. Well, I like watching every division that they've got there at the Big O. It's competition top to bottom, and you've got everybody trying their damnedest to get into victory lane without really losing their mind, and that's got to be a tough deal. How do you do it? How do you remain cool, but yet, you know, you're out there digging and you're hitting stuff on the track that really wasn't there the last lap, and now you go into the same spot and there's a rut or there's this or that. How do you maintain a calm demeanor that you have to go out and win the race?
You almost got to keep thinking while you're racing. It's over the years, sometimes you get too amped up or sometimes even forget to breathe. And I think the last couple of years I've been able to adapt a bit, and you got to try and plan ahead. A lot of times it never plans like you plan, but you just got to stay on your toes, and you got to try and at least expect what's coming. But, even with the lap traffic last week, that was really difficult, and you got to try and plan to where they're going to go, and you got to go where they're not. But, thankfully, last Friday, everything kind of just fell into my lap.
Yeah, it sort of did, didn't it? Sue's running the highlights from G-Force. We've got to thank the guys at G-Force for letting us use their footage. It was a wild race. Josh, where did you get your start in racing? Where did you start?
So my grandfather raced late models at Flamborough. And then one night on a Tuesday night, my dad took me down to Merrittville when I was like 4 or 5 years old and took me down to the carts there and kind of said, hey, you want to give it a go? And I don't remember it, but thankfully I said yes. And one thing led to another. We just kept racing carts. And then thankfully Osh Wiegand put together that amazing crate program. And at the time we were sponsoring the Turner family. And thankfully they were able to help us out, put a car together. And we got into the crates and then we just kept working our way up.
So a crate sprint car is really the first opportunity you had at a big automobile. Other than that, it was carts. That's even a big jump, right? To go from carts into that?
It definitely was, especially because I didn't even run like an outlaw style cart like they run on the Thursday night. I went straight from a flat cart to straight to a crate sprint, but I was able to make the leap and thankful for everyone that was able to put me, to get me through to that journey.
Well, obviously you had the talent to do it because you were able to do it and a lot of learning things throughout the course of time. Big jump to go from crate sprint into a 360 sprint?
Yes and no. I mean, everything comes at you 10 times faster. You got to react 10 times faster. But I mean, the nice thing is, you know, a lot of people always ask the question, you know, are they the exact same car? Are they, what do you have to change? And there's really not much you do have to change. The actual frames and everything themselves are the same. So the feel is the same. It's just at a lot quicker pace.
Yeah. So the speed is a lot more. Did you take your crate sprint and make it a 360 or is it a brand new, totally different piece?
At the time, I actually ran double duty. So my first year in 360s was 2019. And I actually ran the Action Sprint Tour in the crate. And then I would run every Friday with the 360. So at the time, I did have two cars. But yeah.
Going back and forth. That would have been needing some adjustment too, right? To go from the crate sprint into a 360 car would have felt. That's just like a pro late model guy, I guess, going into a super late.
Yeah, definitely made going back to the crate a lot easier to drive. Kind of felt like slow motion a little bit. But then getting back into the 360, you got to give those belts an extra tug.
Absolutely. With Josh Hansen tonight, he goes to Victory Lane on Friday night, got his second win of the year. How many 360 wins do you got? Do you keep them all charted?
I think I'm sitting at five right now, I think. Five or six.
Five or six. And are they all at the Big O or are they scattered around running tours and stuff?
They're all at the Big O. We've come extremely close a couple times at Brighton and Merrittville. Merrittville's one that keeps biting me. I don't know how many podiums I got there, but I still can't get one there.
Josh, do you ever look at asphalt like your forefathers did and running on asphalt? Do you ever look at it and say, maybe one night?
I mean, if someone had a car sitting there for me, I definitely wouldn't shy away at the opportunity. But yeah, if someone said, hey, come drive this car, I'm definitely going to jump in and go.
Well, and I can't help but notice that we got the Delaware race coming up with sprint cars on asphalt. Man, I bet you'd fit like a glove going into that.
I'd be willing to take a try.
Yeah. I don't know what the differences would be. There'd be quite a bit of difference, I would think. A sprint car on dirt versus a sprint car on asphalt would take, I don't know, probably a lot of difference, I would think.
I've actually never seen the sprints on asphalt in person. I've watched quite a few videos of them online. They look absolutely terrifying. But I would definitely be willing to give it a shot for sure.
Well,
I'd love that.
That's your kind of racing, I would think. And the track style, when you get to the Big O, I hear it. You know, the track is slicked off. It's fast tonight. And then other nights, it's a slow track. Which one suits you better?
Preferably, I love the slick and slow. I love searching for that every little bit of grip and sliding around. But I mean, at least this year we've proved that we can do it on both. But definitely for me, it would be like a national style of track, slick and slow, and everyone's fighting for every little piece of grip they can find.
So how about you the rest of the year? What are you just staying out this weekend? Or are you going to go out? We heard DJ Christie just come back from the Nationals at Knoxville. Is that does that sort of have Josh's name on it to tour around after things are wrapped up at the Big O?
I think so. There's a Maryville race at the end of the year. We'll definitely be at that. It's close to home. And we're starting to put plans together. If all goes well, I think we might. There's a race down at the Big E, Eldora. If all goes well at the end of the year, we're going to be venturing on down there.
Oh, man, that looks like a hoot down there. I see the 45 car took a shot down. He absolutely loved it. That's the thing to do, right? That would be Mecca for a sprint car, right, is to get to Eldora?
100%. It's been on the bucket list since day one. I've actually never even gone there to watch a race, so it's been on the bucket list year after year, and stuff just hasn't really fallen into place, but this year it is.
You drivers don't make very good race fans anyway. You never have. When you go to a track, it's to get in behind the wheel, right?
100%. And this year I was a spectator of the Outlaws, and it was just itching, sitting in the stands. I was getting bored, and I just wanted to be turning a wrench or doing something. But sometimes it is nice to take a night off. But this year at the Outlaws this year is definitely one of those nights where I wish I was in the seat and not in the stands.
Well, you do a great job behind the wheel. I can guarantee you that. Who have you got for crew on your team? They got to be hugely valuable.
Yeah, definitely. I got mom and dad. They're the big powers behind everybody. Definitely got last year we brought Mike Krutchka on board, and he's been a huge help to turn us around. And got Dave and Jordan, and Mike comes out when he can. And you know, it definitely all starts in the shop with those guys, and especially Mike. He's nine times out of ten he beats me to the shop every week, and he's definitely helped turn our program around. Last year, we had a ton of issues, and everything that could go wrong last year did. And this year, we kind of took a step back, regrouped, and we've been slowly finding speed week after week. And thankfully, it's all to those guys. They've made my life so much easier. Even at the track, I don't have to worry about, you know, grinding tires or anything. I can just think about what I need to do and what the car needs to do. And I can just put two and two together and put it on the racetrack.
Well, I take my hat off to you guys. Anybody running dirt, coming out of the asphalt world that I come out of, practice means so much to race teams. They get out and, you know, with the asphalt guys, if you give them 4 hours of practice, they'd take all 4 hours and use it. But you in the dirt world, you're lucky if you get 5 laps of practice per night. So you put the setup in the car at the shop. You get to the racetrack, and depending on the day, the humidity, the, I don't know, the other 5,000 factors that would go into that track, you got to try and set it up for what you think it's going to be. You don't have a lot of time to adjust.
No, not at all. A lot of times it's green, white, checkered. And, you know, when you're running at like the Big O every week, you know, it's not so bad. But especially when you go to a place you've either never been to or haven't been to in a couple of years, it definitely takes, you got to learn it and you got to learn it quick. And especially in the dirt world, a lot of times we have timed hot laps like we do every Friday at Oshkosh. So you just got to go out there and you got to be fast right away. Otherwise you're starting in the back of a heat race. Like there's no messing around. Or, you know, a good example would be when if we make the trip down to Eldora at the end of the year. I've never ran there. I've never seen the place, watched a million videos, but
right,
it's different when you get out there. And I know that GLSS, they do timed hot laps. So I got to be fast right out the gate.
Yeah, man, it blows my mind to see what you guys go through and the successes too. You know, and, well, look at Westbrook. Look at you now with 2 wins, Nick Sheridan, another one that is consistently up front, either winning or on the podium. It's amazing to see because there is so many variables that go in to a race. And it doesn't matter the class on dirt. There's so many variables, and to see success, it's just amazing. Sponsorship on your 88. Who have you got on there?
I got to thank J&E Recovery. They're the number one. They're our family company. Eagle Towing Equipment, Storage Solutions Niagara, Julie Swayze Remax, Nathan Ackland. He's a huge help with a lot of parts orders, behind the scenes stuff. I got Nisco National Leasing on there this year. Glendale Auto Parts. And there's a ton of behind the scenes. You know, there's so much that goes into it, and every little bit helps.
Where is home for you? What's your hometown?
Right now it's Beansville. I will be moving shortly over to Welland, which is near Merrittville Speedway. But our race shop's located in Welland, about 15 minutes from Merrittville, for those who aren't familiar with the area.
Right, right. So hands down, you're going to be running at the Big O from now until when? What's the crystal ball? When you look in that crystal ball, Josh, where are you going to be 3 to 5 years from now?
Well, I mean, the dream would be to be on the road, but, you know, you got to dream big. But realistically, we just keep plugging away at the Big O. I mean, the competition's unreal. The track's amazing. The track facilities are amazing. Everyone there is amazing. It's great to have the live feed every day for everyone to watch. So, I mean, for us, we'll just keep running the Big O. It's by far my favorite track. And then we'll just keep venturing, run a little bit with the SOS, some ESS, some stuff like that. And then maybe if, you know, we keep doing well, we can plan a couple big trips a year, maybe like a Knoxville or Eldora, and maybe a Volusia in Florida in February.
Yeah, I guess the pinnacle for a sprint car would be the World of Outlaws, right? That would be that's the top of the heap right there, to be part of the World of Outlaws and chasing that championship. Are they still doing like 70 races a year?
I think right now they're almost pushing 90. I know it's 80 plus. Those guys are nuts. I mean, I give props to them, you know, living on the road thousands of miles at a time. And I know some guys, you know, they run a night and then they got to drive 4 or 5 hours up the road to run the next night. Those guys are nuts, but I give props to them.
Yeah, well, they do it, and they absolutely love doing it, which is too cool. I can see you doing that, Josh, at some point. You've got a 410. You got the 410 engine, so when the guys show up, you put the 410 and jump in?
No, not yet. It's I've been pushing for it. We'll see what happens this winter. If all goes well, maybe next year. But it's definitely – I'd like to say it's in the works, but I got to work a little harder, maybe pull some more sponsors.
Well, you're a young guy. You got lots of time. It'll all come in due time. Josh, can't thank you enough for the time tonight on Race Time. Congratulations on win number 2. And let's see if you can get win number 3 before the end. That'd be cool.
That would be amazing. And we'll keep getting better and keep pushing for that Nationals.
You betcha. We'll be watching. I can guarantee you that. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you so much.
Josh Hansen, driver of the 88, does an amazing job behind the wheel. Keep your eyes peeled for him. Now, if you can't make it to the Big O, Oswego Speedway, if you can't make it there on a Friday night, you got to know you can tune in and watch their races absolutely live on GeForce TV. Just get GeForce on YouTube. It's simple. You don't need to register or anything. Just click on it and watch it. All live, Clinton and Greg Kelman and Adam Ross. They do a great job on the broadcast. They got complete replays, you name it. It's a professional broadcast. Check it out. And if you can't be at the track, and you really do got to try and make it there, the Big O is just amazing to go watch. As a dirt track, that's got to be the number one facility in Canada, if not in North America. Glenn Starrs does an amazing job at that speedway. And I also got to put it out to Glenn. He had a good run, top 10 run for the Zero car on Friday night. So even the boss is picking it up. Watch out. He's getting quicker. Maybe we can get him on as a feature winner as we get through the end here. We haven't got many races left to go, and they'll be crowning champions. And then we get into the Nationals at the Big O, another amazing 2-day event. Blow your socks off, and you want to make plans to be there. We're going to hit another quick break. When we come back, what do we got? DJ Kennington. He's coming up. You want to stay there? We will be back with you all live from the Racetime Radio Studio. Stay with us. Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Leaf Racewear. Fuel your passion and confidence at LeafRacewear.com. We're an essential part of any team.
The IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship is on Rev TV. Catch all the action live with full race coverage of the high-stakes action that North America's leading sports car series delivers. Four classes, world-renowned drivers, and leading manufacturers putting it live to be champions. IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, right here on Rev TV.
It's time for over 30 years, QuickWick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your QuickWick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. QuickWick Fire Starters, no harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. QuickWick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
The NASCAR Candidate Series is on Rev TV. Canada's only national touring series, featuring the best drivers in the country. Racing on challenging street circuits, ovals, and road courses. The NASCAR Candidate Series on Rev TV. Brought to you by WeatherTech Canada.
There's work and there's fun. Both require the right equipment. Since 1955, Ed Stearns Equipment has specialized in both with a full lineup of Kubota, Honda, Still, New Holland, and most selections are in stock, ready to go, with 4 locations to serve you, 2 in Erin, Cookstown, and Stayner. It's Stearns Equipment. With the right equipment, work can be fun.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by QuickWick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. Napa Auto Parts Stores, Port Hawkesbury, New Glasgow, and Antigonish, Nova Scotia.
Of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here.
We call it Race Time Radio.
With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, one and all, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in here tonight. Hey, I got to bring you up to date. Now, normally, I would have had Jake Sheridan on the show here tonight. He won Friday night at Delaware Speedway in his Oscar Super Late Model. He was there Friday night, won the race. Now, of course, with APC getting rained out on Saturday, that was announced on Friday. So I messaged Jake to find out if he was going to Owosso Speedway, because they had a big Super Late Model race there, but I hadn't heard anything back. Well, tonight, just before the show, Sue goes, hey, did you see this? And sure enough, she pulls it up. Jake Sheridan ended up not only going to Owosso, finished second. So he was on the podium for that. Didn't have Jake on the lineup for tonight. And I did have LP Dumoulin lined up. And of course, I explained to you, LP was sitting on an aircraft waiting to take off. And they were delayed, which was going to mess the schedule up for being on Racetime Radio. So we made the quick decision to bump him, push him off till next week, and it left us with this little hole right here that we've got, so I can at least tell you about some of the different results that took place that we don't have the guest for it, but we will get Jake Sheridan on the show again at some point here. He went on a real streak, right? I believe he was on like 8 weeks straight with victories, either in APC or in Grisdale competition. He was winning every time, and sure enough, he kept the tradition alive. I was the guy that sort of dropped the ball on this one, but congratulations, Jake Sheridan. The 52 goes to victory lane at Delaware Speedway and then finishes second at Owosso Speedway. I know that has been a goal of Jake to get that car and get it down to Owosso, and it sounds like that all came true. And I didn't see the race, so I kicked my butt there. We got to congratulate Trent Lapcevich. He went and did double duty at Anderson. Don't know how he made out, but he was there at Anderson Speedway Racing. And then, of course, Aaron Willison from BC goes out and he wins the Race for Millions, Race for a Million, and he won that series. So we will have Aaron on the show next week. Want to congratulate Jeff Montgomery. Sounds like he set fast time. He's also from BC. Set fast time in Colorado for the big race, but it was Aaron going to victory lane. The Penticton Speedway, I believe they come up with a date now for the Western Rattler. Get to their website and check that out. If you're out in BC, anywhere close to Penticton, excuse me, you'll want to get out and see that race when it does come up. I want to say it's October the 3rd is the date that they have selected to run the Western Rattler 222, and it'll be well attended. I can guarantee you that. There's a lot of race teams that want to get to Penticton and run on that beautiful speedway. So check that one out. If you are going to be out that way, you definitely want to take that race in. And we're only now a couple of weeks away. If you're out in BC and you're going to be out in Victoria, out on the island, check out Saratoga Speedway, the Canada 200, the iconic Canada 200 that has ran for like 50 years. It's going to take place at Saratoga Speedway. And late models far and wide are heading to that race. They want to try and get their name on that trophy. And rightfully so. You want to talk about an iconic Canadian race? That is one right there out on Canada's west coast. And we've got our great Canadian 300 coming up at Delaware Speedway. That isn't going to be that long from now, right? You want to see that. But we've got NASCAR Canada. They do iCar this coming weekend. And then they're back to CTMP for their final run at CTMP. And then they head to Delaware Speedway and cap their season off on September the 12th weekend. So it's three races in a row for NASCAR Canada. And the guys are all chomping at the bit to get to that season finale at Delaware. And you and I all know who's going to shine when we get to that track. It's going to be that 17 Castrol Edge Dodge that's going to be out there doing his damnedest to win that race. He almost did it last year. They were twins last year, and DJ Kennington came real close to winning both of them. I was on the podium for both. But what do you say we go to that Zoom line and we bring that 17 guy up? Let me turn his microphone up, and we'll see if we got DJ on here. What's going on tonight there, DJ Kennington? How are you?
Yo, how are you, pal?
Fantastic. Fantastic. You're in the shop. Imagine that.
Yeah, hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just working away here. Did a little bit of dyno work this morning, trying to find a little more HP sauce for this Castrol Edge Dodge and see if we can't go have a good solid run at iCar this weekend.
DJ, you've been having a decent season. I know you want to be in victory lane every time you go out there, but you've had a good, solid, consistent season this year. You move up a few spots and you're going to be real happy.
Yeah, no, it's been okay, Joe, but it's not where we have to be. I mean, it's with corporate sponsors and all the support we get from like Brian Cathcart and Brimstone Games, and I mean Drive By Supply, all of our sponsors. We need to be up front. We need to be leading laps. We need to be winning races, and we haven't been there. I mean, we've had some really solid runs. A lot of things this year I've had go wrong that I've never had go wrong before. It's one of those racing gods years, I think, that we had a power steering issue that was really weird. We had a couple of tires that were gone down on us, and just silly stuff that really GP3R hurt big time. I mean, we were really fast, had a great car, one of my favorite road courses we go to, and man, the engine spit out a rear main seal. Stuff I've never seen before, you know, for us. So it is what it is. You just keep working hard, and we're going to try to get out and see if we can't turn things around here. We got three races to go and get this thing in victory lane before the season's over.
I didn't know what happened to you at GP3R. You went off. I went, what's going on with that car?
Yeah, it was weird. Just as a caution came out, you know, I think we were running sixth at the time, and I smelled like somebody was like blowing up is what I thought. And I thought, man, I smell burnt oil. And then I looked in my mirror and I could see a haze. Mm. So as I'm going down the back straightaway, I could see the haze getting heavier. I'm like, that's me leaking oil. And so we came in, and sure enough, we boys jacked it up. And I mean, it's just running out of the oil pan, like right at the rear main seal. And it was absolutely, by the time we got that all tore apart and fixed, the race would be over. So,
oh yeah.
Unfortunately, it's one of those things that you can't really blame anybody. It's just stuff that happens. I mean, it's a $8 part that let us down. So, we can't complain. There's no sense, whining and sniveling about it. You just get on to the next one and see if you can't get back up front.
Yeah. And that's what you do. That's how you've been successful in your career, DJ. There is no quit in you. I've seen you go through some hair-raising things at a racetrack, and you're somehow or another, you're able to put it behind you and get out and go do it again. And you'll get a different result because you change things so that you do get an opportunity to have those results. DJ, compare 2026 to, you know, the last 5 or 6 years. Has there been big changes in the series, or does it feel like it?
I think so. I mean, there's kind of been, I don't know. It's the new tire this year threw a loop to a lot of people. I mean, there's a few people, obviously the 96 has it figured out. You know, it's just every year things evolve, things get different. Teams improve, people find more speed. Over the winter, they do a lot of homework, and I feel like we've done well with that over the last 3 or 4 years. And this year we've had decent speed again. I mean, I can't really complain about that. I mean, obviously we need to be, I would say, 2 or 3 spots higher yet. You know, we're consistently running fifth place or whatever, and that's not where we got to be. So, yeah, there is some differences. I think the biggest difference that I've seen so far is car counts come back up a bit. I mean, it's been a decent year that way. A lot of great competition. A lot of the teams are getting better and better and better, and that makes it harder and harder and harder. So right now we're all getting our butts kicked by one guy and one team, and we've got to turn that around and get after him. I've had seasons like that myself. I'm looking at a banner over there right now that says 7 wins, 11 top fives, and 11 top tens. So those are years that you just put everything together and everything goes your way, and we got to get back to try and do something like that.
Well, I was going to say, you have been in the seat of the 96. You've been there where you're winning all those races back to back, and everybody saw DJ won again. DJ's blown their doors off again. What's he doing that we're not doing? And those teams were all trying to beat you, but that year, that particular year, there was no top in the 17. You were on it every single time, and you didn't have a rear main seal let go, and you didn't have, you know, this happened or that happened. It all went right because you were making it go right.
That's exactly it. I like to say a lot of times in racing, you make your own luck. I mean, you know, the work you put in the shop and so on, shows on Sundays, and you got to give credit where it's due. I mean, Robin and those guys over there in the 96, they don't have issues, and they haven't had problems, and I mean, they're fast every week. Obviously, you know, Mark Antoine has gotten so good over the years. I mean, when he started, he struggled, but now he's one of the best there is. And, you know, it's up to us, and it's up to us not to complain and whine. And like I say, you know, you get people starting to question, you know, oh, they're cheating or they're doing this or doing that. Well, bottom line is they've done their homework and they're beating us. So we've got to do our homework, and we got to get back out there and try to beat them. And the only way you can do that is keep trying and keep working and keep doing all the things we're doing. We just got to start doing it better.
Just doing it better. I hear every word you're saying. DJ, CTMP is coming up. I know you got iCar and you're looking at that one because that's the next one. Yep. But I can't help but look into CTMP. That racetrack and you've had good success at that place before.
100%.
What's it going to take to get you back in victory lane at CTMP?
Holy cow, you're going to have to beat all the guys like Cameron and Dumoulin and Lacroix and Tag and Gary Clute and Fellows. I mean, there's all these guys that are, you know, such good road racers. And I mean, I have all the confidence in the world. We're actually working on the, that's what I was dynoing now, is our engine for CTMP, trying to make sure we got everything up to snuff, because horsepower means a lot there and every ounce matters. And to compete with these guys, you've got to be on your game. So I feel like we had a really good run going there in the spring, but we had the power steering issue, and we were running, I think, like I say, fifth or sixth again, and running with the lead pack. And it's like I say, there's just so many good road racers now, with like, you know, Alex Gannett, and there's so many of them. It's just, it's hard, and you're going to have to be on your A game and have a perfect car and everything going your way. And I'm going to have to get your son up on the radio and get him getting me pumped up so we can get after these guys.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have the right guy to do that. He'll pump you up one way or the other. I can guarantee it. DJ, when I look at NASCAR Canada and I see the car count, it sort of hangs around that 20 mark until you get to a road course, and then it jumps up. We get 30, 35 cars. Isn't out of the question. What can you attribute? You got to take your competitor hat off for a minute and look at this, and you'd be a perfect guy to ask this question to. What's it going to take to get a more consistent car count in NASCAR Canada? Would a farm system? It seems like back in the day when CASCAR was running, we had Friday nights at Delaware. You had, you know, the stuff happening on the West Coast. That was all CASCAR. And then when you would have a Super Series race, you had 30 and 40 cars show up to it. But there was a farm system. Doesn't seem like that farm system is there now. Do you think that would make a difference?
I think it possibly could. It's so hard to have a, you know, like another series that's close. I mean, I guess the OSS is probably about as close as you're going to get right now, other than the late model deal. But the late model deal is just such a different car and a different breed, you know. So I think it all comes down to the same thing in motorsports basically worldwide now. It's cost.
Yeah.
It's like everything else. It's just guys can't, without our corporate, like without support from Castrol and all the people I get support from, I couldn't even think about it.
No.
So it's, I mean, that's the biggest thing I think that, you know, even with the NASCAR deal, to try to get a little more car count consistently, we're going to have a cost cut. And I don't even know where to do it. I mean, they helped us out this year with tires. It's a different tire. I don't particularly enjoy it as much as the general.
Right.
But it saved me a lot of money. So that's what we have to do. And everybody's on the same thing. So you can't complain that, you know, we're all racing on the same four tires. So that's the biggest thing I think that we've got to do, is try to cut costs and try to help the teams as much as we can with the marketing side of things. And obviously with companies and sponsorship and so on, it's tight. I mean, it's an economy thing we're in right now. And if we can get the cost down and try to make it a little more affordable, I think you'll see more people come out on a regular basis. People pick and choose where they want to go right now because that's all they can do. They can only run three or four races with their budget. So They pick the places that they want to go. And a lot of times that's road racing. And, they, you know, if you're not running the full series or the full circuit, why would you drag out to the West Coast? Which I totally understand. It costs a lot of money and so on. Mind you, the West Coast puts on a great show. Loretta and them out there are one of the best promoters we have.
Yep.
So it's a balance game, and I don't think it's easy for anybody. Even you look at the APC series, you know, the car count's down a little bit this year because I think it's just the cost and people can't do what they used to do. So you have to respect that too. And try to find a way, if we can, to keep saving teams money the best we can so that more people can afford to do it.
Well, when I look at it, if I was the guy at the top saying, okay, I got to increase my car count, what am I going to do? I've thought of it a couple of times and went, well, I'm going to change the car and make our NASCAR Canada car more like our APC car so that one could take it and move from here to there. But when you do that, you just take everything that all the current teams have and you got to load it into a dumpster because they're not going to be worth anything. So that's
money again, right?
It's not the answer. It definitely isn't the answer. And it's not like the APC series has got 30 and 40 cars that they don't know what to do with. So
exactly. It's
not there. So then you take a look at, well, you mentioned it, the OSS series. We take the OSS series, and they're running 100 lap races, but their car doesn't even compare. I know it looks the same, but you know and I know that they're not even close to what you're driving in.
No, they're relatively close, but I mean, with a 604 crate engine, and I mean, they're not a dry sump car. There's just so many things, Joe, that you gotta, you know, whenever you start trying to change something, it costs somebody money.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what you do. And that's the hardest part. So I think NASCAR has done a better job in the last year or two with the cost of things, with not changing rules, trying to keep us on a, you know, pretty steady pattern. I think that's why you're seeing a few more cars being able to be out there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's healthy. It's good right now, which is great. I still like to see it a little bit better, just like you would. I'd like to see 25 or 30 cars at every race. It makes it for a better show for the fans, makes it more fun as racers. When you have a good day.
Yeah, when you have a good day. Yeah.
When you have a good day, like I say, GP3R hurt a little bit when there's 30 cars there and you're the second car out. It's not a good day.
That's right.
So, that's racing. So, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Like I say, I don't know if there is a way to have a feeder series or something like that, but, it's a big step. It's just such a cost thing to go to NASCAR Canada. That's why you see so many people doing rental programs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm lucky enough to have Brad Ranson, come on board this year. He's learning. He's, fairly new to a stock car. He's racing in the Euro series. Also racing here. He's getting better every week. Had his best finish there at Markham. So you get people like that want to come into the series, but it costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And for them to start up a team and buy a car and everything else, they can't do it. But if they come to a team, whether it's Hathaway or myself or Dumoulin or whoever wants to do a rental program, it's a little more affordable, and that's why you see these guys do it. So there is avenues. I think we just got to keep working at it, and hopefully it stays strong.
Well, the only thing that it leads me to is one thing, and it's more money. Like, if you can't save any more money, then you have to get more money in. These races, DJ, shouldn't be paying, I don't care if it's $3,000 to $5,000 or $10,000 to win a NASCAR Canada race, that should be $50,000. If it was $50,000... Now, I don't care if first place pays 50 and second place pays 2,000. Nobody in that field looks at second place. They all look at first. How much does it pay to win? $50,000. Yeah. I'm going to build a car. I'm going to rent a car. I'm going to get a car because I want that $50,000.
100%.
So at some point here, I guess the elephant in the room is how much you're racing for. Now, can Short Track Canada pay $50,000 to win? It's no, but at some point, that's where the sponsor money has got to come in. When you add all of that up, I think there is potential for it, but it isn't ever going to grow unless we get a farm system and more money paying to win, I think.
Like, no, I agree. I don't know where else to turn. That. Like I say, it's it's a tough nut to crack. NASCAR Canada did well this year. They upped our purse. It's $15,000 to win now, which is, you know, better than last year.
Sure.
Definitely. But like you say, it's, you know, a race weekend costs you that. So that's where it gets tough, right? That's where without sponsors and all the people that support you and put the backing behind you, that's how you make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're banking on the winnings, you're probably not going to make it.
It's no
different than the big late model races. When you see them put up a big purse, people go and go to the big late model races. The late model thing drives me a little bit crazy. That's kind of why I don't even have one anymore, is like the rules are so different everywhere. That yet they're so close.
He wants to go run in Knoxville. He can do that. A legend car. You get a legend car here. It's a legend car in North Carolina. It's a legend car on the East Coast of Canada. They're all the same.
100%.
So, like, I get it with that. I'm just, with NASCAR Canada, every other option, I believe, DJ, has been exhausted. I think the only answer to that whole problem is more money to pay. It has to be.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
You're right. Like I say, we got to bring more money in. And I know they're working hard with partners and marketing and so on to try to do that. So let's hope it happens and it keeps rolling, because there's a lot of good people and a lot of good teams that put a lot into this series.
The best, really. You know, I've been there. I've witnessed you guys. It's the best. You can't get any better than what we've got.
No, there's a lot of teams. They put in so much work and time and effort. And like even the last, you know, these, even like we got iCar this weekend and CTMP the next weekend. We were out east and then we were out west. Like there's a lot that goes into that that people don't see behind the scenes, like logistics and flights and hotels and trying to get your guys there and try to take care of the guys, because without your guys, you got nothing.
You're trying
your best to keep everything on the straight and narrow and keep everybody happy. And it's a struggle. I mean, and because the bottom line, like you say, it comes down to dollars and cents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm so fortunate with my sponsor. Castrol's been with me for 34 years, Joe, and I am the most fortunate guy in the world. I walk around branded every day of my life. I'm on holidays, and you'll see pictures of me with all my Castrol stuff on still, because I believe in it so much, and they've done so much for me over the years that I wouldn't even be close to where I am today without them.
Yeah.
So I'm just so fortunate to have them, and that's why I got to, like I say, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I put a lot of pressure on my guys, and I mean, I got to be better. And I don't feel like everybody, you know, you can blame them getting older and so on, but I'm only 49. I'm not 75 yet.
No.
It's not an excuse. I've got to, and I know in my heart that I can still do it. And I know that when everything's right, I can still get it done. I still feel great in the car. I still get excited every time I get in there. So, here's looking forward to, turning this ship around and cruising by fifth place and trying to get a few more podiums here.
And you can do it. You know you can. You just got to go get the job done, DJ.
100%. It's just like I say, you know, here I am. It's Sunday night. My daughter's sitting here with me in the shop because my lovely wife is off for work. She's in England right now.
Oh.
In the UK.
Yeah.
For work. So she's gone for the week. So here I am. My daughter's hanging out here in the shop with me. I'm going to maybe make her take this engine off the dyno so I can get it put in the car.
Yeah.
And it's a family effort. And it, like I say, every team out there is doing the same thing. There's probably guys working on their cars right now, trying to get ready for iCar and trying to be better, trying to be faster. And that's what it takes to do it. So we've just got to keep working hard. And bottom line, got to get my ass in gear, Joe. That's what's got to happen.
Get it rolling. Get it rolling. If anybody can, it's you, DJ. Go back to it, get it ready to go, and good luck at iCar. I will see you at CTMP, and hopefully if everybody is thinking the same way, we'll all see you at CTMP.
100%. I can't wait. I'm excited to be there. One of my favorite racetracks. I've been kind of come around a little bit with iCar, too. It struggled me for a while.
At least left some.
Yeah, she's
in here.
I appreciate everything
you've done. DJ and Fair Shit went from coming from Mammoth. Yeah. Okay, come on. Good news, Jake. What is at the big O? Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Can't complain about that.
No way. You finally got the Super out, and look at the results you're getting. Boom, boom, just like that.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly expecting to do the doubleheader with it kind of right away here, but it was nice to turn our season around a little bit with that car as far as just had some rough luck at Owosso the first time. Felt like we got kind of one got taken away from us there, and then Gold Rush was a heartbreaker for sure, and two times we were fully capable of winning for sure, so nice to kind of get cleaned up and bring one back for the team and the boys on Friday and at home, and all the partner stuff there was special, and kind of had some fun there. Worked all night long, did the old racer thing to get back up to Owosso for Saturday, and honestly, it turned out pretty good. We missed it just a little bit setup-wise this time with some of the changes we made, and nothing due to a lack of effort or knowledge or equipment, just to guess at a couple things and just missed it just short, just a little bit. So, definitely a good outing.
So what did you think of – that wasn't your first trip to Owosso, right?
No, that's our third time there.
Third time. So you knew what to expect going in, but the sounds of it, you didn't miss it by much. And a full field of those super lights. That's crazy.
Pretty awesome, man. They get 21 cars there for their series. Yesterday was pretty cool. So 21 cars and qualifying rained out, and we were way delayed. And the last thing around the track was in the middle of the sun, and we didn't get out to race until I think it was 9:30 or 10 o'clock. I think it was actually 10 o'clock for after. So waited around all day, and in the rain, the track did a great job, honestly. I think they got it dry two or three times, and as soon as we lined up to go out, it rained again. So they had a lot of man-hour stuff in to dry that place off. So between them and everyone we had kind of helping us out to get there, really couldn't appreciate it more.
Well, Jake, how many more shots are you going to get at the Super this year? And do you think you'll be back down at Owosso, or are they done with Supers now?
They've got one race left, but their final race is the same day as the 300 for us. So I got to prioritize that one there for our program. But we'll see. We're throwing it out. We're rumbling about maybe trying to go to Sable with it, but I'm not sure if that really fits into the program too much. But we're gonna try and get to Flamborough for the doubleheader with the Outlaw and the Pro at the end of the season. So we'll see if we can make it work out. But you know, it's pretty cool to go across the border and race those guys competitive, and there's some good money on the table, but they also cost a lot to go and operate. So it's you got to kind of weigh out your options and races that are going to pay enough to get there for.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. It's one of these, right? We were just talking about that with DJ Kennington, the cost versus, what else is happening out there. It's amazing that you guys are able to do what you do, and it's kind of cool. So Friday night, that was your first win in a Super this year, right? That was your first win in that Super this year.
This year, yeah. That was our third race out. Like I said, we got just short. The other one was second and got kind of cleaned out the first one. But yeah, first win at Delaware was cool this year.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. But it's Delaware Speedway. Big difference between the Pro Late and the Super at Delaware. Being at that track, you would feel the difference probably more so than anybody.
Oh, for sure. Honestly, Delaware almost feels faster than Owosso, too. The miles per hour is, but just the way you drive into three there, when you lose the bank gain, it's flat and it's rough, and you're just full song in there is exciting. So definitely a cool experience, different for sure, and between the tire and just having that much horsepower is a big experience. But we had quite the rush just getting going. I mean, Friday, obviously excited for us to be at home, and then we last minute decided after they canceled APC to go to Saturday. We had quite the deal to go, and I was not planning on that. I left my passports all at home. Kendra and I, passports were at home in Innisfil, so we raced, and then she had her whip back through the night, and she came all the way back here and grabbed her passports, and we went to work in London all night long, and then the whole team put together to go out there, so definitely an exciting night.
Yeah, that sounds like Ronnie stuff. That's the kind of stuff that Ron, your dad, would have been doing back in his heyday when doing racing. That's just amazing that you've had success this weekend. You got a win, you got a second at two of the toughest tracks you could imagine. I'd say you did pretty damn good. Now, you're back on track next weekend, I guess. Grisdale will be up next for you, right?
Yeah, thank you a lot. Appreciate that. And we'll be at Grisdale's series next week with the Pro. So Thankfully, nothing too much to get ready. We had everything all ready to go for Sauble, so just a little setup change and gear change, we'll be there.
Yeah, you'll be all set. Jake, I can't thank you enough for the time for jumping in here. I was wondering how I was going to get you, and then presto, you were right there. I can't thank you enough for doing that. And we'll probably catch up with you next week with Grisdale on the map. You probably in for another visit to Race Time, I can well imagine.
Well, we hope so. We'll do our best. I promise you that.
You bet. Jake, thanks so much for the time, bud.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Jake Sheridan right there gets the win at Delaware Speedway on Friday night and then follows it up with a second at Owosso. Pretty darn cool stuff, if you ask me. We are going to stay on our Zoom line. We're going to go right to our next guest. Looking forward to getting this guy on all season long, and we finally did it tonight. We have Dave Jacombs with us. He is Assistant Director in NASCAR Canada. David, welcome to Race Time.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Well, I should say welcome back to Race Time. This is your first time as on the NASCAR side of things, but as a team owner, you've been on a few times.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
How do you like being on the NASCAR side now? Because you were a big team owner in NASCAR Canada.
Yeah, it's quite a bit different. I mean, it has its own different stresses. You know, with a team, as a team owner, the buck would stop with you, basically. But with NASCAR, it's a big group. You know, there's a lot from the U.S., from here, and you have to work as a fairly significantly large team to make all this happen. So it's different.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting to get your take on things. You know, from the job that, or from the team side of things, you would have a perspective somewhat like what we're looking at. And then going over and, you know, being part of NASCAR now, you're pretty well on the other side of the fence looking at the race teams. And was there anything, Dave, that when you got onto this side of the fence, you looked at it and went, God, that really surprises me. I didn't think it was like that. From being over there looking at it.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, you're doing your own thing in your own car and you kind of live in a small world. Now you're living in the world of the entire garage. So now I see what all teams are doing and, you know, good or bad or indifferent or like however it may be. It's you just see all this thing in a whole different perspective of how they think. How they, you know, I mean, you're kind of friendly. You're friendly with some of them, but you didn't necessarily. Now they all come to you in a different world. You know what I mean? They're telling you different things, and it is quite significantly different, really.
Yeah, it's funny. Funny you say that. Back when I was sponsoring race cars a long time ago, and then I ended up buying Sauble Speedway, and some of the guys that I sponsored as a company. Some of those guys then, now I want them to come and race at my track. And it was like dealing with totally different people. I couldn't believe it. I went, hey, you and I got along really good. But now that I'm a track owner and I need you to race at my place, now you're saying, no, I'm going to go run at that place. It was incredible. But it's the competition part of the sport, right?
Correct. Yeah, it's for sure. I mean, it's a whole different picture, you know, and like I said, they bring different things to you. A lot of them are boisterous. They see things in a little different way. You know, even as an owner, I recall, you know, when you're looking at people, you're talking about rules, you're talking about things, you really are, you like to think you're trying to do it for the entire series, but you are a little bit self-serving. You know what I mean? If you're trying to turn things a little bit, it's kind of, you know, hopefully it's going to work in your favor. So it's having to weigh all that out and pull the best out of it, you know, when you talk to these teams and and make the best decisions for everybody.
Yeah. It's got to be, well, hats off to you for doing that. And Dave, honestly, knowing you for as long as I've known you and really respecting what you've done as a car owner and some of the talent that you have brought through this sport, to see you now with NASCAR, in my eyes, gives NASCAR more credibility, in my eyes, for getting a guy like you. Then decisions are being made and, you know, maybe helping make the decisions. There's a lot more thought would go into it. at least from, you know, car owners, you've got to be kind of happy that you're where you are these days.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Joe. And that's what they're saying, too. Yeah. And Alan LaBrosse brought me into this. You know, we've known each other for 20 years. He originally brought me Andrew Ranger and kept me in the sport as an owner, you know, even back in those days. And he brought me into this with that hope in mind that I can bring the owner to it, you know, the owner thoughts to it and what we, you know, have thought over the years and how we've, you know, like I say, like we think to help the series get some credibility and some of the decisions we've made that I've weighed in on. I think, you know, I mean, I don't get my way all the time, but at least if I, you know, chip away at it, I think we're doing okay.
That's fantastic. How has 2026 been for NASCAR? Looking at the year so far, are you guys happy with where everything is?
I think so. I mean, we've had the same challenges as everybody has with weather. Our car counts are up. An average of 3 cars per race doesn't sound like a lot, but there's not a lot of series that can say that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're looking for it to even be better for next year. Looking forward to 27 for sure. But we got 3 races left and the car counts look really good for those. So I think it's upward trend for NASCAR Canada.
Dave, you know how important it is to get the schedule out. You know, it's funny, every year we would be with bated breath, right? As a race fan, I was always looking for the schedules to find out where I'm going to be on this weekend or that weekend. And there was a few years there where NASCAR Canada was really slow at getting their schedule out. Of course, they got a bigger nut to crack. They're not just working on one facility. They've got to lay the races out across Canada, and they've got to have everything I's dotted and T's crossed before they put it out. They didn't mm-hmm. want to come out with 5 or 6 different schedules. So there was a few years where it was slow. This year, hey, NASCAR was way on top of it and had to schedule it out early. Can you see the mm-hmm. same thing for 27? Is it going to be kind of early coming out?
I do. You know, we're waiting on a couple of things to maybe to drop, but for the most part, the schedule is getting close. Let's say it'll be another early release.
That's fantastic news. That's got to be good news for the race teams. Same thing. They're waiting to find out how many races and where are they at when, and they chase down their sponsorship. So that's got to be great news. Good to hear the trucks are coming back to Canada.
Absolutely. I mean, and they're coming to our weekend. It's not like we have to go to theirs, right? So that's really exciting news for us. We've been getting some major crowds at CTMP on our weekends anyway, and this is just going to even amplify it more. I mean, it's great to have a national series come back up to Canada.
Yeah. Well, that Silverado 250 weekend was always a favorite on mine. And you know, when COVID hit and that went away, those were sad days. I really hated to see the fact that truck race went away. But to hear the news just last week that the trucks were coming back in, I thought, right on. Some good positive things happening in the sport, right? You got the Toronto Indy move to Markham. I know they had a little rocky start to it this year, but those bugs are going to work out. That was quite a race. And then to have NASCAR or to have the trucks coming back, there's some more good news for everything.
Absolutely. I agree what you're saying. The Markham was a little rocky to start, you know, but it was still a great weekend. They built a superb racetrack, super smooth, challenging. And we put on a good show there, you know, that we were extremely happy with. So it for sure was a really nice venue.
Dave, do you see many changes coming up in the future for the cars, the NASCAR Canada cars that we see?
I don't think any major changes. No, not in the near future. We're trying to keep things as consistent as we can, just to keep the costs in line. You know, the sheer cost of buying parts for all race cars now, or anything you're buying, just keeps going up and up and up. And we don't want a lot to change If anything, we're going to try and do things to help cut costs. You know, I mean, we had three doubleheaders this year to help, you know, the travel expenses so you could get enough races in for a series, but didn't have to travel as much. So we talk about this a lot on all these calls we have about how we can help the competitor, you know, save money, what we can do to help, you know, I mean, so, you know, we're working hard at that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's got to be, that's task number one all the time, right, is the cost. And there's mm-hmm. only so much money you can save the teams. Those guys, you used to be one of them. You guys, if you left it long enough, you guys would eat yourselves. You give them test time. If you gave a team an hour of test time, they'd want 2 hours. If you gave them 5 hours, they'd want 10. It's just the nature of the sport, right?
Absolutely. And you know, you say to see the things I see, that's some of the things I see the most of. You know, we brought the cost of tires down for this year, and the tires have turned out extremely well for us. And we've, you know, limited them fairly tightly, but, you know, that's one of the biggest complaints we hear is we need more tires, we need more to test, we need more, you know, we put the testing out 21 days ahead of a race instead of 7 like it used to be, again, to try and, you know, curtail testing a little bit, because there's only certain teams that can afford to do it.
Yeah.
So
it's just, you're just constantly trying to level the playing field as hard as it is.
Well, you're doing a great job because, as you mentioned there, we got more cars per event, and that's really making a statement. I can tell you that, and good on you guys from NASCAR for getting that number up. Of course, we all want it to be a lot more, but Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes time, and it's just kind of cool to see you in the position that you are. You happy with everything, Dave?
I am. I am. I like my job. I like having the input that I do. I like having ties to the U.S. people. You know, I mean, from the technical side, I mean, we talk to these people weekly. So you get to see what they're all doing, you know, ARCA, like at all at our level, ARCA, the modifieds. So it's really exciting. And they do this so we can learn from each other. You know, so if we have some good practices, they have some good practices that they do, and we pull them all together and continue to just try and build a better system.
Yeah, better product on the racetrack. Dave, we're in good hands with you up there. Congratulations on the position. I can only see positive stuff coming from you up there. The selfish Joe Chisholm, though, wishes that you were still a car owner, because I used to enjoy watching what you put on the track, too.
Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. And I hear that a lot, and I miss it. I miss the competition part for sure. You know, when I had some of the drivers that I had, like Andrew Ranger, Alex LeBay, and, you know, Patrick Carpentier and Jacques Villeneuve, and it just goes on and on and on. And it was really exciting, you know, and to win as many the championships we did and as many races as we did, you know, I'm proud of my NASCAR career, and hopefully I can carry on in this and be proud of what I do here too.
Well, and you're going to be, because knowing what you and seeing what you have put out there, you're a man that wants to make things bigger and better, and that's the kind of stuff we needed in NASCAR to make everything bigger and better. Dave, can't thank you enough for the time here tonight on Race Time. And nice seeing you.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Anytime.
Well, we'll get you back on. I can guarantee it.
Okay.
We'll see you at CTMP. Have a good one, and be safe going to iCar this weekend, right?
Okay, thank you.
And and no wrecking the pace car. Keep that away from the guys.
Okay, got it, got it.
You bet. Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Dave Decombs right there with NASCAR. So cool that Dave is part of NASCAR. On that side of the fence now, it makes a big difference, right? The organization that NASCAR has got there to get people like Dave involved on that side, in the management side, is going to make a big difference for everyone. And it's just kind of cool to see that. Now, next weekend, it's going to be another busy one. As mentioned, NASCAR's heading for iCar. The Grisdale Triple Crown, or not Triple Crown, but the Grisdale Series is back on track at Flamborough. You'll want to see that. Delaware Speedway has got another wild weekend. Same with the Big O. What I'm getting at is get to your local racetrack. We haven't got many weekends left, and summer 2026 is going to be gone. So you want to make it to the track. Some of the best races that you're going to see all year long are coming up. These ones, where the champions are crowned, and man, there's some really good races coming up. But that's going to do it for us tonight on Race Time. Sure hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget, tune in every Tuesday night on Rev TV Canada from 5 to 7. You can catch Race Time Radio if you just tuned in late and you missed the show. Have a look at Rev TV on Tuesday night. But that does it for us tonight. Got to thank Sue right here in the Racetime Radio studio for doing all the graphics. And got to thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Be safe, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.